Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, our guest, Andy Merritt, who is the CSO of One Funds, the manager and the managing director over there as well. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you, Christopher. Great to join you today.
And you're no stranger here. You've been on the show before. I think it's been a couple years ago, one of our very early guests when we were talking a lot about what's going on in Colorado. And this is a little bit of that kind of update.
Yes, it was back when I was working for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce. And it was we were just as a community starting to wrap our arms around cybersecurity and what our community's involvement could be. So it's fun to be here now.
Yeah, this point. And that picture behind you gives a little bit of that history. As I remember at that point in time, that whole campus was a, you know, we wish to have this. We hope that this will be around someday. We're renovating this old building. Now, what do we have there?
Well, thank you. Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation. It's our founder for One Funds, Kevin O'Neill, was also the founder of Catalyst Campus, really built out of his experiences as a small company owner operating in the DoD and government space and experiencing the challenges and some of the disadvantages. So he created this campus that's now, we are currently adding our ninth building to campus, over 250,000 square feet of space. And it's a mix of government labs and government organizations, small defense industry, and large primes like Lockheed Martin and AWS and Viasat. So it runs the whole gamut of the defense and government industry. And it's really about trying to grow more companies here locally and deliver capability and innovation through those companies.
Yeah, and I've been in several events in there, and I know you have a whole myriad of startup companies in there, one or two people in them with a great idea, concepts, right. And these breakout like hoteling rooms that they can work in and you know, use just for the day, conference rooms, bring in their guests. It's a neat experience.
Thank you. It is. And that's what we want to see, is it's that interaction. It's really about exposure. I mean, the more you can give small companies exposure to potential partners, either on the government side or in the large prime industries, the more those companies find opportunities and also find opportunities to collaborate with each other. And that's when it gets real exciting, when you see several small companies find an opportunity together and go after a bigger project that on their own, none of them could have pursued. But collectively, they have a chance to take that down and win that opportunity. Yeah.
So how about yourself? I mean, how have you been? What's your path been like in the last couple of years?
Well, I think it was around 2015 when you and I connected around when I was at the chamber. After that, I went to work for then Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado. And at the end of 2020, I joined Kevin O'Neill back here, really on the path to create this funds group. And again, it really flows out of Kevin's own personal experiences. Being that small company, the challenge for small companies, especially in the DoD space, is access to capital. How do you find capital that understands the marketplace, that's willing to recognize the differences of operating in that market as opposed to just pure commercial markets, and be able to raise that money that can help you continue to grow? And so the funds group, when I joined Kevin, it was around, hey, let's build this funds group out to really achieve a couple of things. One was, let's create friendly capital based in Colorado. There is some capital in the state, hardly any down here in the Colorado Springs area where we're based out of. So we wanted to create some capital here that would have the desire to keep these companies here in Colorado and grow them in Colorado. And leverage things like the Catalyst Campus ecosystem that exists to support those companies. And then two, we really saw DoD identified itself in that same time frame, a huge shortfall of investment capital, again, for these smaller kind of lower middle market startup kind of companies to be able to scale and deliver more capability. DoD recognizes that that's where innovation is occurring, and they want more of it, but they just weren't seeing it. And so they've taken a number of steps themselves to try and drive capital there, and we're aligning with that same approach that they're taking.
Right. Well, let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back in a minute.
Blockframe Technology offers next-generation blockchain-managed trust and security. Unique non-fungible tokens are used to secure software bills of materials to provide data quality and security for every transaction in your supply chain. Deploy advanced peer-to-peer product security, scale zero trust capability to millions of IoT devices, allow vendor tracking and accountability, and rapidly reset from compromise. Unchangeable, time-sequenced blockchain data provides next-generation security using machine learning trust algorithms and audit analytics. Start securing your supply chain today by contacting Blockframe at www.blockframetech.com.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Andrew Merritt, the CSO of One Funds and managing director over there. And before the break, you were talking about kind of the progression, what's happening here, what your path was. What's the landscape? And you kind of touched on this. What's the landscape for startups look like? Is it slow right now? Is the government needing a lot? You know, what's that pipeline look like right now?
Yeah, it's actually a really good time to be a startup in that space because DoD issued a report in January of 2022. And in that report, they identified over the prior 10 years that the defense industrial base saw a decline by 40% in the number of small companies in that base. So you had a significant decline in small companies. At the same time, DoD continued to push more and more money into small businesses to the tune of, in 2019, I think it was $158 billion, and that's only gone up since then, that they were pushing into small businesses. So they're really, it's kind of a great time to be a small company trying to get in this space, because again, DoD recognizes innovation comes there, the level of competition has declined, and DoD, through this Office of Strategic Capital that they stood up in 2023, its focus is how do we drive capital and opportunity to those small companies to support the growth of that smaller company industrial base. So it's really, it's a unique kind of interesting time for small companies, for people that are in that space to find opportunity. And for us, the funds were about, one, investing in that great opportunity, and two, trying to help them then deliver capability. Because ultimately, that's what this has to be about, is delivering capability, not just doing cool research and development.
And there's some involvement from the state of Colorado. Explain what that piece looks like.
Right. So the first fund we launched last year, which is called the Colorado One Fund, that is a venture capital fund partnered with the state of Colorado, the venture capital authority there. So it's a $34 million fund where the state committed $17 million as a traditional LP, and they're using a mix of state and federal dollars that the state receives to do that. And then we capital raised the other $17 million to match that. So now we can invest in seed and pre-seed companies. So we have to be the first professional money in to those companies. So it's really about helping those startups make that next leap and move forward. And then we have some additional targets around there, around investing in historically underserved founders. So if you think traditional SETI categories, BIPOC, women-owned, but it also includes veteran-owned, and then there's some geographic factors where underserved urban areas, founders that reside in underserved urban areas that we can invest in as well. So we have some targets there, which we were very excited about, frankly. Our very first investment, for that matter, out of the fund was in a woman-owned, veteran-owned startup company. Great little local company out of Monument, Colorado.
Interesting. So the government focus, though, is it strictly and solely you have to be a government contractor, you have to be a government technology? What's the connection there and the narrow focus?
Yeah, so we're actually looking at it. We're looking at a dual use focus and from both directions. So you don't have to be currently in that space. You could be a commercial company with great capability who recognizes, hey, there's opportunity for me to sell my product and my service into the government. In which case, our group, our investment committee, our founders, we are all people who have been in and around the government space for our careers. So we're really good at helping those kind of companies understand and get ready to go into that market space. As you know, there's all kinds of challenges of getting in that business, from having compliant accounting systems to meeting all the new requirements that come in the cybersecurity realm for those companies to be able to offer their technologies into that market space. So we're good at that. We can help those companies that are commercial transition into that space. If they're a company that's already traditionally in there, we want to help continue their path there, but also help those companies think through and look at, hey, are there other commercial opportunities for my product? So we really hope companies will be in both spaces. Government is our base, so that's going to be where we're going to add the most value to. But we can help defense companies look at commercial markets as well.
So we haven't traditionally, I mean, it's exciting to hear, and that's why I was so excited to get you guys on to talk about this. I haven't heard much, and I personally have been looking around, and there hasn't traditionally been a big investor community support in Colorado. Do you see this as something that is going to be a permanent fixture, is going to change? What's the future look like in this area?
Well, we hope it grows a lot here. And that was part of our intention in doing this. So as we just discussed, we have that small venture fund. We are that's specific to the state of Colorado. We have a larger fund that we have been greenlit for by the SBA, called our, oops, sorry about that. Called our Small Business Investment Company. It's a specific license out of the SBA. The advantage to a fund like that, which will be more of a growth equity fund, investing in companies that are lower middle market, not startups per se, but a little further along. So that license comes with the option to keep those companies all non-affiliated. So historically, in the government space, one of your challenges of getting investment capital is if you take significant investment capital from a group or from an individual, then you become affiliated with everything else they invest in. And that cuts you off from your small business set-asides way too fast. In this case, an SBIC has a non-exemption, a non-affiliation exemption from that rule. So we can invest in a large number of companies and they all remain non-affiliated. So they all get to keep the benefit of being a small company as long as possible. And that's why DoD is partnering with that SBIC program as well. But our hope is those are just the first two funds, that we will do follow-on funds, but then also either out of our group or others that realize, hey, I can be successful operating investment capital groups out of Colorado Springs, that more will start up and grow here, and that we'll get a more robust investment community here locally and in
Yeah,
Colorado.
maybe we'll see this be the government startup Silicon Valley kind of equivalent.
Probably won't get quite to that scale, but the same concept, yes. And if we're very focused in that government space, it does allow on a small scale, does the Silicon Valley of companies growing here that have reasons to collaborate, that people spin out of those companies that are here and start up new companies. So hopefully we do generate some of that same kind of energy here, even if not at the same
Yeah.
scale.
Let's hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back in a minute to talk to Andrew Smith.
Blockframe technology offers next-generation blockchain-managed trust and security. Unique non-fungible tokens are used to secure software bills of materials to provide data quality and security for every transaction in your supply chain. Deploy advanced peer-to-peer product security, scale zero trust capability to millions of IoT devices, allow vendor tracking and accountability, and rapidly reset from compromise. Unchangeable, time-sequenced blockchain data provides next-generation security using machine learning trust algorithms and audit analytics. Start securing your supply chain today by contacting Blockframe at www.blockframetech.com.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking with Andy Merritt, the CSO and Managing Director at One Funds, a Colorado startup fund incentive company that's is helping startups, and hopefully also they're going to help their investor base and the state of Colorado to turn some money that then gets poured back into the state. So I know that you know, with your focus in government, there's a lot of support that you offer those companies, along with just dumping some money into them. And one of those, you know, that is interesting to me is it has been very difficult to get into achieving government funding. I know that I have personally filed over 40 grants for the government. I won a couple of them, but nowhere near the amount of effort that I've put into it. How is it, and I know that you offer a lot of support in helping companies with that. Talk about that pipeline, right, and your supports there.
Yeah, I mean, so Catalyst Campus is certainly part of that ecosystem for offering that support. And, you know, we historically have leveraged the SBIR program, Small Business Innovative Research Contract Program, with the federal level. You know, for companies, we kind of emphasize a few things that companies need to look at, one of which is you've got to really get to know your customer and have somebody who's going to champion when you apply for those SBIR contracts. In some cases, if we're working with a company, we can help them understand how to do that or connect them with the right person to help them champion that. Because that becomes important to really winning those, and especially getting a CBIR phase one, which is only 150K generally. That's good, but you need to get to the phase two and then hopefully ultimately to the phase three, as you know, where you're delivering capability into operational systems. And so we understand how to kind of go down that pathway, and we try and advise the companies on that. I know the Catalyst Campus is looking at trying to build out a CBIR lab, if you will, to be able to help other companies. So not just companies we've invested in, but help companies that are in the Catalyst ecosystem be able to understand that process and leverage that process better, and partner with small companies to be able to do that more. So I think, you know, we're seeing more resources across the ecosystem going towards that effort. Because to be honest with you, if you can use the government's money to develop your technology out and then sell your technology to the government, that's a pretty good deal when you can do it. But it's challenging sometimes. A lot more companies understand it and go after it. And it can be hard sometimes to win those contracts. But that's how we're trying to influence it and trying to increase, because we do think we could create a much more robust startup ecosystem here, again, if we had more companies able to leverage that program.
Yeah, and I've seen some of the events you hold are like connecting some of those large companies that might be sponsors for smaller startup technologies and making those connections. Yeah. You know, traditionally I've seen that's a lot of the showstopper is sometimes in the last couple of years, those users of the technology have been so busy and working, fighting fires, that looking down the road, the right pipe is beyond them, which is why, or just they're not looking at the too far out because they're so mired in the now. Is there any way that you see that managing that, and as maybe even that's changed, but that's been one of the most difficult things that I've seen bringing new technology to the government, is if it's not something that solves their problem they have today, they're not looking at something that's going to revolutionize 5 years from now.
Yeah, and that's a very fair comment. That has been a challenge historically. I think one of the interesting things, and we will see how this plays out, we don't know yet, but this DoD Office of Strategic Capital that I mentioned, when they partner with funds, like they would partner with us on our SBIC fund, that will be part of our final license, is to get their, what they call a critical technology designation. When they do, they are looking at trying to help these funds that they partner with connect to the senior acquisition executives to be able to understand where are the services trying to go long term. And that's information that we hope to then be able to bring back to our community and translate here in the community of, hey, here's what we're hearing, here's what they're looking for. And if you're a company that's in that space or think you can get to that space, then we want to talk to you. Because that's what they're looking for. Let's try and align collectively, if that makes sense.
It does. So what are you looking for with One Funds? What opportunity is there, and who might get involved?
Yeah, so we're like I said, we're focused on critical technologies in general. So that's things like integrated sensing and cyber, network of systems, space technologies, advanced computing and software, AI, ML, and human machine interfaces. Those are kind of the core areas where we're focused within the DoD-defined critical technology sectors. Obviously, there's also adjacent technologies that can apply that we can also look at as well. But that's in general where we're focused as a fund group. It's pretty broad. If you think space technologies, that's a very broad category. Integrated sensing and cyber, very broad categories that give us flexibility as to what we're looking in there. But that's in general our approach. It can be things from manufacturing to software development to like cybersecurity capabilities, those sorts of things that would all fall under there, and that would be of great interest to us. Our check sizes on the venture fund are going to be $500,000 to $3 million. On the larger fund, the SBIC, it'll end up being $3 million to $30 million. Can go a little higher than the 30 with exceptions. So we're still very small, lower middle market and below size companies, startups to lower middle market, companies. So we're not going to be looking at, trying to acquire these $100 million acquisitions, things like that. That's not going to be us. We want companies that we can help grow, that we see a pathway for us to be able to help them, because we're not looking to be passive investors where we just give you money and hope it turns out well. We want to help you with our team's networks, our capabilities, our backgrounds, our knowledges. So for me, for example, I spent 21 years working for members of Congress. I understand how to work the legislative processes and budgeting processes and that stuff back in DC. So I help our companies, if necessary, with that piece. We have other folks here that are really good at capture programs and writing SBIRs and those sorts of things. And so those folks will help companies with those aspects of it. So our goal is, when we invest in a company, we want to sit alongside you, say, what is it that you need? Where are your weaknesses as a small company? Because all small companies have weaknesses. So where are those gaps? Where are those weaknesses? And then let us help you turn those weaknesses into a strength, hopefully, but help fill those gaps and be able to make the small business more valuable than it is
Yeah.
on its
Is
own.
there still room for people that might want to invest in this?
Yes, yes, there is. On the venture fund, it's a minimum $100,000 check. You have to be an accredited investor. And there's just certain standards for those that aren't familiar with it. There's just certain standards that the government sets for that. A lot of people do meet that. If you have the money to invest 100 grand, generally, you're probably going to meet the rules for an accredited investor. The larger fund, because we're still active capital raising, I really can't go into that and solicit that yet.
Okay. So, what are you looking for people to reach out to engage with you on? How can and who can get involved?
Well, the big thing is, if you're a company that you think fits those categories and you're developing a technology that might fall into one of those categories, by all means, reach out to us and let us know of you. We'd love to have you sit down. I'm not the one who does the initial due diligence with companies, but we have a great team of guys that have been in the industry for a long time, really knowledgeable, that we would sit them down with, and they can go through that process and see if it's a company that. We always say it has to be a fit both ways. So it has to be a fit for you, the company, whether we may not be your flavor ultimately, or we may not be offering what it is you want. That's fine. But you also have to be a fit for us. So if it's a fit both ways, then great. We would be excited to go forward with them. If not, then we do try, even if we can't help you, we try to see, hey, do we know somebody in our network who might be able to help you? That would be a better fit for you than we are. The goal here, there's plenty of opportunity for us to invest in. So the goal here is not just to benefit ourselves, but to try and bring more into the Colorado and Colorado Springs environment that we can connect you to people that maybe you wouldn't have ever had access to before.
So at what level are you looking for? Somebody with an idea and a motivation? Or are you looking for more seasoned? I know there's a TTR or L level, whatever. Is there a certain range that you're looking at?
Yeah, the two funds are going to be completely different. The venture fund, we can look at everything from somebody who has a really good idea. But I'll tell you, they have to be a little bit more than just an idea on
On a napkin,
on a
yeah.
napkin. You got to have a little more behind that, spend some more time, and you have a real plan. You've identified kind of where you would see your customers going and how you're going to build your technology out. But you don't have to have it all figured out.
Gotcha.
You could have a prototype. And so you can be very low TRL level. The SBIC fund, which just let me just clarify one thing. We can't invest out of that fund yet because we are still in the process of raising our minimum. So we can't invest out of that fund yet. Hopefully later this year, we can start investing out of that fund. That's our goal. That one was going to look for a little more seasoned companies, companies that tend to be already EBITDA positive companies, have a technology and MVP and a prototype done and have been testing it. So those are going to look for a little bit further along, but still, again, small companies, companies that maybe haven't even raised capital before or have raised capital from what we always say, the family, fools, and friends, but they haven't really done a lot in the professional markets yet and need that initial capital to get to the next stage.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today. It's definitely, I hope that we get some engagement from the local community and even maybe get some people to migrate towards Colorado as potential area that makes sense for, technology startups.
Yeah, just have them go to onefunds.com and they can connect with us through our
There you go,
website.
onefunds.com. Thanks a lot, Andy. You have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.